This on? You guys got real quiet real fast. Give God a hand. We're off to a great start, amen? Worship band, good stuff, man. Very good, very good. So who was here last week? I know you were. Okay, so you know, Randy talked about my dog, right? So my question is, how many of you were being like Rusty? That was the thing we talked about, right? Huh? Can't hear? Turn it up. What? So remember he was talking about my dog had an attitude. I don't know why. Even when he was a little puppy, he had an attitude. I don't know why. I don't know. But he always had a bad attitude. He was like king of the hill. He was like, we lived on a corner lot, and he would chase everybody for really no reason. He was just like, you just stay off our property. I got this. He's a little dog, too. He had little dog syndrome for sure. But like Randy said, remember when he was talking about the sheep when they went to the shearers, how they felt afterwards, how they're jumping around, seeing sheep jump around going, wow, I'm 40, 50 pounds lighter or whatever it was. That's how Rusty was. His attitude changed. He wasn't a jerk anymore. So that was the whole teaching about you go to the shearers, you're getting rid of the burdens and things like Rich was talking about. Get rid of them. Stop carrying the burdens. Let Jesus carry the load, amen? I'm telling you, we all do it and it builds up, but we just had communion. It was a great time to unload the trouble, the anxiety, and everything that we all struggle with. Hey, I hear myself now. Unload it. Just unload it. Don't carry it anymore. We're not meant to carry that stuff anyway. Amen? Okay. Will you guys pray for me real quick? And I'll pray for you, and then we'll get started here. Father God, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you that all that are gathered here, God. And just pray that you speak through me tonight, Lord God. And I just pray, give them the ears to hear, Lord God, and just I pray that somebody gets a nugget, maybe some encouragement, God, before we go back out into the world. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're coming to the end of the Unsung Heroes, or are we going to continue, or is this it? So have you guys enjoyed it? There's been some crazy names coming in and out. You probably haven't heard some of them. Probably somebody knows more about them than we do. Some of you scholars. Okay, so tonight, person, now this may or may not be a little for mature audiences, so little kids, just saying, I'm going to say what it says. So this is about Rahab. You guys heard of Rahab? What was Rahab? Yep. Unfortunately, she was. But God worked it out, right? God works everything out for the good. Sometimes it takes a long time, but we know that he does. And I was talking with Keith earlier, and I was thinking, you know, when you go through the Bible and you look at all these people that are in the Bible, there were some pretty messed up people, right? And God turned their lives around. He chose them, which makes you almost feel kind of sorry for the good people. Good people don't need God, right? They have everything. They have money. They have everything is in line, or so they think. They're going to miss the boat. So it's really cool how God works everything out for his purpose. And sometimes we can't see what's going on, but sometimes we just hang on, keep going. It'll eventually come around if we don't give up. Scripture's very clear about hanging on. Times are going to get tough. It's not going to be easy. And I would say to Betsy and Elaine, be ready. Just be ready. Probably need to pray more now than you ever have, because I got a feeling tomorrow's probably going to be an uneasy day for you. I'm not speaking out on you. I'm just saying be aware, because it's coming. The devil's going, aha. So now you're on the radar, which is a good thing, right? You want the devil to know your name, right? You want the devil to hate you, right? That's what we want. Otherwise, we're just going through life, you know? Okay, so we're in Joshua chapter 2. This is right after the death of Moses. And Joshua is taking charge to finish the final push to move into Jericho. Does anybody know what Joshua stands for? What's it mean? God is deliverance. Jehovah is salvation. I thought it was pretty cool. I was like, oh, I tell him that. He's really going to get puffed up now. Just kidding. So we know that Rahab, she's a woman, she's a Canaanite, and she was a prostitute. So excuse me. All right, so we move it in. Joshua is getting the word from the Lord that he is to go and just do what I tell you to do. Just do it. Don't deviate from the plan. Just go and do what I tell you to do. So it starts off here in chapter 2. It says Rahab protects the spies. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp of Achiah Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out. They came to the house of the prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there that night. Okay, so you got two guys going to this girl's house, okay? And her house was built, they used to build the houses into the walls because Jericho was walled up all around. You guys know the story, right? What happens? Her house was right on the edge of town, right on the very edge. So she's built up, she can see outside, and it's also easy for escape. So these guys came to the perfect spot. Easy escape, right? And you kind of wonder, well, why would he send them to Rahab's house? For one, you could get good information there, right? Probably good gossip, lots of traffic going in and out of there, good and bad. You get all the information you want on what's going on. It was built into the wall for quick escape. I was thinking about that. The spies, they kind of blended in so nobody knew who they were, and then they eventually went into her house, and it says they spent the night. So we know God can use anybody at any time for any of his purposes, right? And this woman, as this story plays out, it's a pretty cool story about how you don't think that God can use you, what your past is. Your past is your past. You don't have to dwell on it. It's been forgiven, so move on. You can be frozen in time because of you don't think God can use you for anything. It's like, I'm no good. He loves me, yes, and I'm saved, yes, but I'm going to sit there and do nothing. That's not what we're called to do. God says to go out into the world, be a light for me. So check out what she does. So they spent the night, but someone told the king of Jericho, some of the Israelites have come tonight to spy out the land. My first thought when I first read that was, they're not very good spies if they already got caught. They only been there one night. They already know they're there. It's like, well, they're not really a very good spy. Well, anyway, it doesn't say who told on them, though. It just says someone. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. And I like what she says. What she says here, it says, Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they're from. They left town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. That's a straight up lie. She knows exactly where they are, right? She knew. She was hiding them. She told them, I don't know. That's the greatest answer for everything, isn't it? I don't know. So was she justified for lying? I mean, for Christians, lying is a sin. She wasn't a Christian yet, okay? So in that city was wicked, okay? There was really no moral compass. They kind of did what they wanted to do. It was going downhill in a hurry, right? So I was doing some research, and some of it just said that although she did lie, maybe there was a reason why she lied. You know, in wartime, sometimes you do that to mess with the enemy. Like, I don't know what's going on. Or you give them false information. That way you can conquer them because you gave them false information. Deceiving the enemy. But God forgave her because of her faith. She had faith. She had very strong faith, too. Plus, when she was under that kind of pressure, she made a choice. And God knows sometimes we have poor judgment. He knows that. Sometimes we react, and it's a bad deal. And it might be a sinful reaction, but God knows that. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. We just sang about that. It doesn't have to be perfect. But he wants us to trust in him. He wants us to repent when we do that and go the other way. Don't live like that. Amen, sister. It'll be okay. So I don't know where they went. So he says, if you hurry, you could probably catch up with them. That's a lie. I'm not going to catch up with them. Actually, she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them beneath the bundles of flax that she had laid out. Anybody know what flax is? They make yarn out of it. So what they do is they cut it and they put it on their rooftops and they put them in bundles so it'll dry out to make yarn from. So imagine this stacked on top of your roof. It's a pretty cool place to hide, right? Nobody would see it. It's piled real high as the stuff dries out. So they had a great place to hide. So the king's men went looking for the spies all along the road leading to a shallow crossing of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was closed. Now Jericho is, it's kind of a, it's like a bowl. You know how New Orleans is? It's like, New Orleans I think is like 500 feet below sea level, so it's kind of a bowl. This was like 840 feet. It's one of the lowest cities in the world, come to find out. And it's also the oldest city in the world. I was like, well, I kind of thought Jerusalem, they're both around there, but Jericho is the oldest one. Plus, it was the first city that the Israelites came to conquer as they moved into the Promised Land. Now remember, God is with them. So Rahab had heard what was going on. She knew around what was going on and what happened. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate was closed. Okay, before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went out on a roof to talk to them. Now here's where the story kind of changes a little. God's already working on her heart because he ordained this whole thing, right? He told Joshua to tell his men to go forth. I'll be with you. Just go, spy, come back with the intel, right? Although we also know they really didn't need to send spies because God can do whatever he wants to, right? But he sent these people as part of this story here. It says, she says, I know the Lord has given you this land. So she's already having a heart change because remember what she was. In her society, the way all the wickedness and stuff was, it was kind of normal. It really wasn't that big a deal. You know, it's like when you hear about that in our society, it's kind of a big deal. But there was just another day, another job. But she was the lowest, obviously, and she was on the outskirts of town, away from people too, or farthest on the city. She says, I know that you've been given this land. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. Once again, a miracle there. When he parted the Red Sea, the ground was dry. Think about that. When a lake dries up, it takes a long time for the lake bed to get dry enough that you can actually walk across it. Even when it's dry on top, it's still mush. You know, it takes a while for it to dry out, but he did it instantly so they could escape. It's all part of his master plan, and he's using people along the way, just like he's doing today. He's using different people for different things. We all have a role to play, no matter what you've done. That has no burden. It's been forgiven. God can still use you, right? You guys believe that?
Yes.
Amen. And we know what you did in Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River whose people were completely destroyed. So the word's getting out of what happened. And the people are living in fear because they know the Israelites are moving in on them. So could you imagine, I was wondering if they really were in fear, like if let's say our country was surrounded by Russia, would we be living in fear? Or would we be planning our own counterattack? Or would we just be partying and don't care anymore? It's America. Yeah, I do whatever the beep I want, right? That's what everybody says. Like, I don't know. I think I'd be preparing for war, personally. So we know what you did. You destroyed everything. Now, oh, no wonder our hearts have melt in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. She knows. She knows the real God. Not the pagan gods that they've been worshiping in her country. She knows that. So now she's going to be set apart because of her faith in God. You guys still with me? Okay, let me see here. Where am I at? So she knows what's going on. Now she says to these guys, she says, now swear to me by the Lord, she's calling him Lord now, that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and my mother, my brothers, the sisters, and all their families. That's pretty good trust, isn't it? She knows these guys were sent by God. So she's like, okay, I want some kind of agreement here. If this whole place is going to be destroyed like all these other cities, everything was completely destroyed. Every living thing, men, women, everything, animals, everything is destroyed. When God did these things, he wiped everything out. And that was the plan for Jericho. So could you imagine the fear that these people had? If they didn't know God? I think when people finally wake up, when they realize they don't know it all, I think they're going to freak out. I think they might have a little bit of fear. It's like, well, I want some of that before it's too late. You know, hopefully, when the rapture happens, there's some kind of something that happens, like a last call or something, before it happens for the people that have a chance to wake up. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to play out. Time will tell, right? So she wanted some kind of a guarantee. Guarantee my family's going to be safe, all of my family. So in 14, it says, we offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety. The men agreed. If you don't betray us, we'll keep our promise and we'll be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. So it's kind of a two-way street. You trust me, I'm going to trust you. So it's like, that's a pretty good trust factor, right? When you know it's coming. Verse 15, then Rahab's house was built into the wall. She let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days, for the men searching for you. Then when they have returned, you can go on your way. So basically, go hide in the hills and wait for 3 days, and then you can come back. So I think that Rahab was willing to do anything it took, whatever the Lord wanted her to do her part to help these guys out. Even lying. So, I don't have the scripture, but if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 2:25. So that's interesting. Remember Rahab was a prostitute, right? So you wonder, well, how'd she make it in the Bible like she did? Well, look at this. Even James is talking about her. He says, Rahab the prostitute's another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely along the way by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without works. So it's easy to say you have faith and you don't do anything. But if you have faith, you're going to do good works. That's how it works. You want to. God's been good to us. Why wouldn't we be good to other people, right? That's part of it. It's a two-way street. True faith produces good works. You're going to want to do it. And like you were saying, Pete, change is hard. It is hard. But the more you dig into this thing and the more you chase after God, he changes your heart. He softens your heart. I've seen a lot of big, tough guys turn into teddy bears, man. I've seen a lot of biker guys cry, stuff like that, because of Jesus. And I've seen guys that are on the other side, and they're tough as nails. Did you guys know we used to go to Red River to the biker thing? Some of you probably don't know, but that was one of the things we used to do on Memorial Weekend. This time it was kind of tainted. There was a shooting there. And the whole time that we were there, nothing ever like that ever happened that we knew about. These biker gangs, man, they don't like each other, especially the banditos. When we went there, it was like a huge bandito thing. And we got to talk to them, minister to them, if they were wanting to hear it, pass out Bibles, stuff like that. But it's just weird when you see people who don't know God, they're tough as nails. And they don't care. They kind of look down on us like we're soft, like we're weak. Maybe we're not as tough as you, but guess what? We know where we're going when we die, right? We used to laugh going, what are you going to do, threaten me with eternity? Okay, I'm down. I'm out. Let's go. You know? Rahab's faith was proved genuine because of the actions that she did. She put her faith in motion right away. She's like, God's trusting me, so she's gonna work it out here for these guys. Before they left, the men told her, "We will be bound by the oath that we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When you come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your relatives must be inside the house. If they go out into the street and they are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays hand on the people inside the house, we accept the responsibility for their death." Did you notice the crimson rope? Rich, I about fell over when you were talking about Exodus, because it's kind of the same thing. It's tied to that. When the doorpost had the blood on it, death passed by. It's the same thing. It's tied to Jesus. That thin red line connects us all. It's the blood of Christ. And I thought it was interesting how they were just using it as escape, and they told her, when you do this, mark your window, because when we're coming in, we're going to destroy everything, and if we see that, then we won't bother it. You're one of ours. She says, I accept your terms. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. The spies went out into the hill country and stayed there for 3 days. The men chasing them searched everywhere along the road, but they finally returned without success. Then the two spies came down from the hill country. They crossed the Jordan River, and they reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. "The Lord has given us this whole land," they said, "for all the people in the land are terrified of us." It's because of Rahab's faith that they were able to do this. Like I said, they could have done it without her anyway, and God did it, but he orchestrated all of this. She came to faith during the whole time. Here's where it gets interesting, and I thought this was kind of mind-blowing. You guys remember she's a prostitute, right? Did you know, look in Hebrews 11, chapter 11. It might be easier to read it on there. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God. for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. That's the hall of faith. Rahab, a prostitute. And there's a lot of big names that aren't mentioned in there. I was like, well, how did she get in there? But I also thought it was interesting, and I could not find the answer, and I looked and I looked and I looked. Different commentaries, things like that, different research. And it said, in the Hall of Fame, they still called her the prostitute. It wasn't Moses the murderer. It wasn't Noah the drunk. They left it Rahab the prostitute. And I thought that was interesting. I was like, well, why would they do that? Why did the writer remind her? Because when you say yes to Jesus, you're a new creation, right? You're brand new. You're no longer an addict. You're no longer an alcoholic. God has made you new. Walk in it. I just thought it was interesting that Rahab was a prostitute still. But I don't know if it... The only thing that I found, and some of the other people's theologians had the same answer, is they left it there for a reason. For people that may be hurting could come across that and say, hey, if she could do it, I could do it. If God forgave her for what she did, maybe God will forgive me for what I did. And he will. All you have to do is ask him. Ask for forgiveness. Open your heart and let him in. It's really pretty simple. Sometimes it's hard to humble yourself and do it. Just thought it was interesting. They still called her that. Now, one more kicker. This one gets really crazy. A lot of you guys probably know this one already. You know when you first start reading the Bible, especially the New Testament, and you start in Matthew or... And you see all those names. How many of you skipped all those names the first time you read it? It didn't make any sense. It was like, well, I can't, what? Tell me what's going on. I want to know what's going on. I don't want to know all these people. So check this out. Rahab, the prostitute, is like a great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Can you believe that? Yeah. That was like, blow your head off. You look at it, it's like, look in verse 5, I think it is. Solomon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. So this woman, living her lifestyle, she made it in the book of Joshua, she made it in Hebrews, she made it in James, and now she made it in Matthew. It was kind of mind-blowing where this whole trail takes you. It's just like, God can do anything with anybody. That's the thing. We have to just step into it. It's all we have to do. How many of you people have volunteered for something at least once in church? Church volunteer. If you haven't, you should. And I tell you why. And I've said this before. When you put faith, or when you put legs to your faith, something happens. When you start walking this thing out for real, and you don't even have to be perfect at it. You just want to help, so you start helping, which leads to meeting new people, different things. Maybe you start learning how the church actually functions and things like that. There's a lot of people here, and we're all in the same family. If you're a child of God, we're in the same family, amen? So if you haven't volunteered, or if you haven't been to a recovery group, or you haven't been to a Bible study, you should. You're missing out. There's so much more to this faith thing than just showing up on Saturday. Exercise your faith. That's what it's for. God died for us. Now it's our turn. Not that we're repaying him. We want to for what he's done. You know, it's just like the worship songs or even talking about communion. It's hard not to talk about communion and not tear up a little bit because of the sacrifice that he made for us. You're just like, I didn't deserve it. Just like Rahab and all the others. None of these people deserved it, but God chose them. God chose you. If you said yes, he chose you. Isn't that awesome? And we know where we're going. That's even better. We don't have to walk around aimlessly like we're talking about before, I hope. Like when Randy was talking about Sarah. Well, we know for sure it's a no-doubter. It's a no-doubter. We all want to be no doubters, right? We want everybody to know, hey, they stood for Jesus. You know what? It seems backwards. And people probably scratch their head going, you guys are still doing that church thing? You know how many times Randy and I have heard that? We've been doing this for several years. Of course we're doing that church thing. We're not going to give up. These are going to have to take us out. You know, it's the way we figured, or Alpha takes over, somebody else takes over, and we get a pass, and we say, see ya. But until then, we're committed to being here. Because it's awesome. God's been so good to us. So really, we're just trying to show you the way that he's treated us. It's available for everybody. All we have to do is walk in it. Walk in it. Get outside yourself. Humble yourself. Just say, God, if you need any prayer for anything at all, it's okay. It's okay to want help. Invite God into your trouble. I tell you what, it's a lot better when you have somebody walking with you, or at least somebody you can talk to about it. You know, a lot of people in here have done a lot of things, and I'm sure we can help each other, because not all of us have done the same thing. You know? So how'd you get through it? How did you deal with this? How'd you emotionally or financially, or how'd you deal with the worry or the anxiety and stuff like that? It's through Jesus we can do that. But I'll tell you this, you have to have some spiritual equity, okay? If you're not reading, or you're not worshiping, or you're not together, your bank account is zero. So the first time something happens, you're going to go haywire. You're going to act just like the world does. It's guaranteed. If you've been out walking away and you haven't added to your faith, or even kept the fire burning, it's going to go out. We've always said, and we went through our desert time too, in the early days, where it does get mundane, and sometimes you're reading scripture out of habit because you know you have to do it and you're not getting anything out of it. Keep doing it, because you will break through. I think some of it's all part of the discipline, learning the discipline to keep doing it, keep doing it. God will speak to you if you hang on. We've always said, if we could shave some time off of somebody's desert time, it would be good. Because when we wandered in the desert, we always wondered, how do we get back? It's pretty easy to come back. Just come back. That's all you have to do. Most of it's in your head. We're not thinking anything. We're just glad you're back. Amen? Jesus takes care of all that. We're just glad you're back. So I want to encourage you to invite people you know that are struggling, that don't know Jesus. Share with them what he's done for you. And then we can say, let me tell you about my Jesus. I love that song. You know, it's, if you think about it, it's, let me tell you about him, because what he's done has been so, so good. Even in the bad times, he's still there. He already knows what you're going to do or how you're going to react. Yet he loves us anyway. So there's a couple lessons that we can learn from Rahab. There's several, obviously, but I just picked a couple. One of them was, have courage in the face of adversity. Step out like she did. Trust God. That's what he wants. And even when it doesn't seem right, get counsel before you do anything stupid. Step out. Trust him. Say, okay, God, this is on you. I'm going to do this. If this is what you want, I'm going to do it. And see what happens. You're going to find out he's going to carry you through those times. He really is. Second one I thought of was believe in God's promises. Believe them. Once you start believing them, it's easier to do these things. It's easier to come every week or as often as you can. It's easier to worship God. I'll tell you one thing about worship. It's kind of like similar to communion in the same way. When you figure out what he's done for you, you can't help but raise your hand. You can't. You just want to sing, going, man, I love you, God. I love you. And the third one I put down was take risks. Fear not, just like Rahab did. She put herself out there. She could have easily been killed by her king, because If she would have been caught lying, she would have been dead, obviously. But she stepped out in faith, trusted God, and look how it worked out for her. She went from this girl that was a prostitute in this funky city where it was okay to be like that, like living on the strip in Las Vegas or something, and now she's part of God's family. She's part of Jesus' lineage. That just blows my mind. I was like, I've read these names several times as I'm reading through there, and I never caught it. This was a funny thing. It was like, so as I was following some of the studies, and it led me to Matthew, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. How cool is that? So God can use any of us anytime for anything. Amen? All we have to be is willing. So if we have courage, we believe in the promises, and we take risks, be encouraged by her faith, and we trust in God, I think we're going to be doing pretty good. Amen? It's kind of a simple formula, but I think it works if you trust it. Just trust God in all that you do. You know, pray before you make a major decision. Give me guidance, God, or give me some kind of wisdom I'm not living in a reaction kind of situation. Because a lot of us sometimes, if we're honest, we just react to things. Which sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But if you stop and think about it, ask for some help, it's going to be a whole lot easier. That's about all I have for tonight, guys. God is good, amen? So I guess that wraps up our series on heroes, unsung heroes. I'm not exactly sure where we're going. We're talking about so you want to grow. I don't know if we're going that way. Who wants to grow? Everybody should have their hand up for that, because we all want to get stronger in our faith and we want to grow, right? So we're thinking about doing that, and we have some other things that we're talking about, but some good stuff coming. So I want to pray, and then we can hang around or fellowship for a while or do whatever. So June 25th. Woo! Yay! June 25th. Okay. Well. Amen. Yeah, okay, ladies, you do the boxes, and guys, you're excused. No. Hey, that's awesome, Chris. That's good. I know you've been praying about that for a long time, too. So. Okay, Father God, we just thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that everyone would be a little bit encouraged, God, to go out and face the world that we have to live in. We know we're not from here, God, but we have to participate. So just help us stay strong, keep our eyes on you, and keep trusting you, God. Just keep building the trust. You're always there for us, God. You always work it out for us, just like you did for Rahab. So we just thank you again, Jesus, for all you do for all of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.